Welcome to the Maracast Tech Briefing. Today, we are unpacking a landmark legal decision out of Germany that fundamentally reclassifies how search engines are held liable for generative AI research.
It is a massive shift. A court in Munich has essentially ruled that if an AI hallucinates a false claim, the search engine is acting as a publisher, not just a neutral platform.
We are also looking at a major material science breakthrough from Sungkyung Kwan University. They have developed a nanostructured additive that could finally make water-based, aqueous batteries viable for ultra-long-life grid storage.
And later in the show, we will discuss the Trillion Parameter Consortium's recent TPC26 conference in Baltimore. National laboratories are linking up their exascale supercomputers to keep frontier AI research open and out of the exclusive control of private tech giants.
It is a packed agenda today. Let's get right into it. We begin today with a legal ruling that could completely upend the deployment of generative AI in search engines. The Regional Court of Munich has issued a temporary injunction against Google, declaring the company directly liable for false answers generated by its AI overviews.
To understand how significant this is, we have to look at the specific case. Google's AI overviews falsely linked two Munich-based publishers to scams, subscription traps, and generally dubious business practices. The critical detail here is that the underlying source material that Google linked to did not actually contain any of those defamatory claims. The AI hallucinated the connection entirely.
Right, and historically, search engines have relied on a very specific legal shield. Their defense has always been that they are simply indexing and pointing to third-party information. If a website contains libel, the search engine isn't liable for surfacing it in a neutral index. Google tried to use that exact defense in this case.
But the Munich court completely rejected that argument. The court stated that AI overviews do not just point to information, they generate independent, new, and substantive statements. Because the AI is actively synthesizing and rewriting the content, the court ruled that this constitutes Google's own proprietary content. They are Google's own words.
That phrasing, independent, new, and substantive statements, is the linchpin. By reclassifying these AI-generated summaries from neutral search results to proprietary content, the court is saying Google has assumed editorial control. And with editorial control comes direct liability for defamation or false information.
This effectively kills the neutral platform defense for AI-integrated search, at least in this jurisdiction. If this precedent holds and spreads, the operational risks for tech companies deploying generative AI at scale become astronomical. You cannot manually fact-check every AI overview generated across billions of daily search queries.
Exactly. If every hallucination that damages a reputation is treated as direct libel by Google, the financial and legal exposure is unmanageable. Critics argue this will force Google to severely throttle or even disable AI overviews for any query involving a person, a business, or an organization.
We also have to consider the speed of AI deployment. Over the past year, we have seen Google, Microsoft, and others rushing to push these generative features to the public to capture market share. This ruling might be the hard break the industry was not expecting. It shifts the burden of accuracy entirely onto the model providers.
And it raises a broader question about how we define a search engine in the age of AI. If the system is reading the internet, digesting it, and then explaining it to you in its own voice, it acts much more like a news publisher or an encyclopedia than a traditional directory.
The downstream effects on moderation will be intense. Google will likely have to implement aggressive, overly cautious filters. If the model is even slightly unsure about a fact regarding a company, it will have to default to providing no AI overview at all.
Moving on to energy storage, we have a fascinating development in the quest for safer, cheaper grid-scale batteries. A team of researchers at Sungkyung Kwan University, led by Professor Hosek Park, has published a study in the journal Nanomicroletters, detailing a breakthrough in aqueous, or water-based, batteries.
Aqueous batteries have long been considered the holy grail for stationary energy storage. Because their electrolyte is water-based, they do not carry the fire risks associated with traditional lithium-ion batteries. They are also significantly cheaper and more environmentally friendly to produce. However, they have historically suffered from very short lifespans.
The primary issue has always been what happens inside the battery during charging and discharging. You get severe electrode corrosion, and the zinc tends to build up unevenly, a process that eventually destroys the cell. There are also parasitic side reactions, like hydrogen evolution, where the water literally splits and forms gas.
To solve this, Professor Park's team developed a specialized zwitterionic electrolyte additive, which they have designated C10. What makes C10 remarkable is that it self-assembles into precise nanostructures that are approximately 3.77 nanometers in size.
These 3.77 nanometer structures fundamentally alter the internal environment of the battery. They create localized high-concentration electrolytes right where they are needed. This induces what the researchers call uniform zinc electrodeposition. Instead of the zinc clumping up and creating spikes that short out the battery, it deposits smoothly and evenly.
And crucially, this self-assembling nanostructure suppresses that hydrogen evolution we mentioned earlier. By stabilizing the chemical environment, the C10 additive prevents the water from breaking down into gas, which is a major factor in extending the battery's operational life.
The concept of a self-assembling additive is what really stands out here. It is a highly sophisticated approach to molecular engineering. Instead of just dumping a static chemical into the PICs, they have designed a molecule that actively organizes itself to protect the electrodes under the dynamic stress of charging and discharging.
The results are what they classify as ultra-long life. If you can get an aqueous battery to reliably cycle thousands of times without degrading, it completely changes the economics of renewable energy storage. You could build massive, safe battery banks next to solar and wind farms without the fire suppression infrastructure required for lithium ion.
The challenge, as always with material science breakthroughs, is scaling. The study was published on January 4th, 2026, so the science is incredibly fresh. The next step is proving that this C10 additive can be manufactured cheaply at industrial volumes.
Right. A 3.77 nanometer self-assembling structure sounds expensive to synthesize. If the additive drives up the cost of the electrolyte too much, it negates the primary advantage of aqueous batteries, which is their low cost. But if they can produce it economically, this clears one of the biggest technical hurdles in the field.
For our final deep dive, we are looking at a major shift in how the scientific community is approaching artificial intelligence. From May 31st to June 3rd, 2026, the Trillion Parameter Consortium, or TPC, held its second annual all-hands conference, TPC 26, in Baltimore, Maryland.
The Trillion Parameter Consortium is a massive global effort. It includes over 100 member organizations, ranging from universities to national laboratories. Their primary objective is to develop large-scale, open, and trustworthy AI models, specifically tailored for scientific and engineering discovery.
What makes the TPC so critical right now is the sheer scale of computing power required to train frontier AI models. Single academic institutions simply do not have the hardware to compete with the private sector. To bridge this gap, the consortium is leveraging exascale computing facilities around the world.
We are talking about utilizing the most powerful supercomputers on the planet. They are pooling resources from facilities like Argonne National Laboratory in the US, RIKEN in Japan, and the Barcelona Supercomputing Center in Europe. By linking these massive systems, they can train models that would otherwise be impossible for public science to afford.
A central focus at TPC 26 was something called the Genesis Mission, which is a major AI initiative aligned with the Department of Energy. The Genesis Mission represents a fundamental pivot in high-performance computing. Historically, supercomputers have been used for traditional physics-based simulations, things like modeling climate patterns or fluid dynamics, using strict mathematical rules.
Now the push is toward AI-driven, data-centric workflows. The consortium is heavily focused on what they call agentic science. This isn't just using AI to analyze a static data set. Agentic science means deploying AI models that can autonomously propose hypotheses, design experiments, run simulations, and adjust their own parameters based on the results. It is essentially building an automated research assistant that operates at an exascale level. But there is a significant political and structural underlying motive here. As AI capabilities accelerate, the most powerful hardware and the most advanced models are increasingly concentrated in the hands of a few private tech giants. Exactly. The TPC is a strategic countermeasure. If the architecture of the next generation of scientific discovery is entirely proprietary, it locks out academic researchers and limits transparency. The consortium aims to ensure that there is a robust open-source alternative, a public gigafactory for AI, so to speak. Maintaining that open ecosystem is going to be difficult. Private companies are investing tens of billions of dollars into their proprietary clusters. The public sector has to rely on complex cross-border collaborations like the TPC to assemble comparable compute power.
It is a massive logistical challenge, but the stakes could not be higher. If the tools required for advanced material science, genomics, and climate modeling become locked behind corporate APIs, the nature of scientific peer review and open discovery is fundamentally altered.
All right, that covers our main stories for today. Let's hit a few more updates from across the tech landscape before we wrap up.
We have some interesting developments in quantum security, state-level AI policy, and some new tools for developers. Let's get into the roundup.
First up, EnCase is set to showcase its full-stack quantum-safe security platform at the Quantum.Tech World 2026 conference in Boston this June. They are targeting the Harvest Now, Decrypt Later threat by integrating physical quantum random number generators with software layers they call QMesh and QFabric. They are aiming to give enterprises a crypto-agile architecture without replacing legacy hardware. Next, Maryland Governor Wes Moore has appointed Michael Boyce as the state's new senior advisor for responsible artificial intelligence. Boyce brings serious credentials, having previously directed the AI Corps at the Department of Homeland Security. His appointment signals Maryland is moving past basic policy setting and into the active deployment of AI tools across its state agencies. In software development news, Apple has released an open-source tool simply called Container that runs Linux containers natively on macOS as lightweight virtual machines specifically optimized for Apple Silicon. It is a departure from Docker's shared kernel approach. Apple is using a 1 VM per container model built on its native virtualization framework, which provides strict hardware-level isolation specifically optimized for Apple Silicon. Finally, a fascinating case study in web architecture. A developer rebuilt a failing React-heavy utility company application using an HTML-first approach with Astro and doubled their user base overnight.
The original React app crashed because it relied heavily on local storage and poor JavaScript execution. It is a stark reminder that for essential public services, prioritizing accessibility and functioning on poor connections often outperforms complex, heavy frameworks. And that is all the time we have for today's episode of the Noracast Tech Briefing. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to check the show notes for links to all the research, papers, and articles we discussed today.
We will be back tomorrow to break down the latest developments in AI, space, and quantum computing. Until then, stay safe and stay informed.